This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Afrechen Chanukah. Baruch Habam to the Kollel Agur DePirka of. We started off in the Queens branch, but now this is Agur DePirka National. Is that Reb Chaim over? Reb Chaim Fuhrer, thank you for joining today. We're going to speak about a subject relevant to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And I'm going to tell you a question you probably never heard before. You ready for this one? I can't imagine you've ever...
Are you sending out the Makoros to those people who need it?
Oh, so it was sent out to Agur DePirka.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not looking to do it, but I'm happy to help.
I forgot to send to you. Okay, sorry. Okay, so we're going to share with you a question today that perhaps you've never heard before. You ever hear this question? The Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash and they could not find any pure oil. And they found one flask of oil that was enough to last for one night. And miraculously, lo and behold, it lasted for 8 nights. So you know who asked this question? This is the question of the Beis Yosef. I can't imagine that you ever heard this question before. The Beis Yosef asks, why did they establish 8 days of Chanukah if they had enough oil to last for one night? So the first night was not a miracle. I'm sure you never heard that question before. Right? This is the famous question that is attributed to the Beis Yosef. So Rabbi Yisrael is showing the Sefer Ner Lameya of Rav Zeltzer, Zeches Lavracha, who wrote 100 answers to that question of the Beis Yosef. And in recent times, someone published a Sefer with 500 answers to the Beis Yosef's Kasha. Actually, this was not even the Beis Yosef's Kasha. This question was already brought in the Rishonim, the Meiri, the Sefer HaEshkol. But this is the question attributed to the Beis Yosef. What I'd like to do today is to investigate one particular answer that is given. This is an answer that's also quite well-known and famous, and I would like to dig a little bit deeper. Okay, if anyone doesn't have the Mara Mekoymos, it's up on the screen on the Zoom, so you could join Zoom. If you're listening on the phone, you could go to rabbidg.com, and through there you could join in the Zoom. I usually send the Mara Mekoymos to Rabbi Yisrael Moskowitz. I forgot to do that this week. Agur DePirka has it, but in the future you'll be able to get it both ways. That's the question of the Beis Yosef. So I want to share with you the answer of the Altar of Kelm, Reb Simcha Zisel Ziv, the Altar of Kelm, who gives his own answer to this question. Of course, we know the Beis Yosef gives three famous answers. Either they divided the oil into 8 parts, and therefore every night was a miracle. And the question on that approach is, well, how could they divide it into 8 parts? That means the first night they relied on a miracle, in Soim Chen Alanes, or when they poured the oil out of the flask into the menorah, the flask remained full, or when they poured it into the menorah and it burnt, it was not consumed on the first night. Those are the three answers of the Beis Yosef. There are many, many famous answers to that question. Last night I happened to see Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that the reason they weren't Misaken Chanukah for 7 days is because then somebody may make a menorah of 7 branches and you're not allowed to make a replica of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's examine the answer of the Altar of Kelm. This might even be the most famous answer to this question. And upon further analysis, it's hard to understand how this answer is a plausible approach to answer the Beis Yosef's question. Says the Altar of Kelm. He says, V'agav echtoiv l'kvoy toirasoi. He says in the Sefer Chachmo Moser Simon Samach Aleph, he says the Beis Yosef asks, if there's enough oil to last for one night, how could it, and it lasts for 8, so then only 7 days were miraculous, and says the Altar of Kelm, V'tirets ma'asha tirets. He answers what he answers. Well, says the Altar of Kelm, there are 70 panim, shivim panim la Torah, v'gam anoichi en chelki b'pshutai. I'm going to give a very simple answer. And basically, the Altar of Kelm famously says that the miracle of Hanukkah in oil, this is not anything new. What's so special? That oil lit for 8 days? Okay, the same God that says that oil should burn for one day could also say that it should burn an additional 7 days. Is that more difficult for the Creator? Is it harder? Does it require more strenuous effort? The answer is no. For God, there's absolutely no difference at all whether it burns for one day or if it burns for 8 days. The difference is for the observer. The observer is not moved, is not inspired when it burns for one day because we're used to it, we're accustomed to it, and therefore we're not nispoil. But if we see a davar chadash, we see something new, something that was only supposed to burn for one day and it burns an extra 7 days, that is something unusual, that is something moving, that is something that elicits a certain emotional response. The author of Kam calls it, it's like you're being mekabel pnei hashchina. And therefore, they were mesake. Not only do we make a bracha on the final 7 days, but we make a bracha on the first day, because through the seven additional days of the Ner burning, we come to recognize that the first day is equally miraculous. In other words, what we call Teva, what we call the mask, the guise, the disguise of Teva, is equally miraculous. And the Altar of Kelm cites the famous Gemara Masechta Tainis on Daf Chaf Hei, that one particular Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, saw his daughter was sad. Chad be shimsha chazi labarte dehavas atziva. Amar la biti lamay atzivas. What are you so sad about? Amar le, she said, kli shal chonis ala bishal b'kli shal shemen. I lit the wrong fuel. I lit vinegar instead of oil. It's going to go out. So Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa famously said, biti ma'ichbala, what's the nafkamina? What's the difference? Misha amar le shemen. The same God who says that oil should burn, He can make vinegar burn. Is there any difference? Is there any nafgamina? Do you really think it's a bigger miracle for vinegar to burn than for oil to burn? And therefore, the miracle of the first day of Hanukkah is the simple recognition that oil burns, period. I am sure we all heard this approach. This is probably the go-to answer to the question of the Beis Yosef. This answer was first given by Reb Simcha Zisel, the Altar of Kelm, and Reb Moshe Feinstein in the Darash Moshe. He basically offers the same approach. Reb Moshe starts with the following question. In the Alah Nisim, we say, V'achar kein ba'uvanecha, ledvir beisecha, ufinu es hechalecha, v'hidliku neirois nechatzrois kodshecha. They lit candles. Says Reb Moshe, that's the miracle of Hanukkah? That they lit Neiros? Are you kidding me? Who wrote this Alah Nisim? Why didn't the... By the way, who did write the Alah Nisim? Alah Nisim is written by Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. Yoichanan has, as Gematria 125, there are 125 words in Alah Nisim, or either 124 words in Alah Nisim, Gematria Yoichanan, or 125, one more than the numerical value of Yoichanan. Why didn't Yochanan Kohen Gadol write Vehidliku ner liyoim echad Vehafla vefele hidliku l'shmoyne yamim? Why does he just say Vehidliku neirois? That's the miracle, that they lit a candle? We know the story. The story is they only found enough oil for one night and it lasted for 8 nights. Why didn't Yochanan Kohen Gadol write about the miracle? And Rav Moshe says the famous approach that we just articulated, that why is Hanukkah 8 days? It should only be 7 days. And Rav Moshe says, really, the celebration of the first day is a celebration that oil burns, period. Is that any less miraculous than it burning an additional 7 days? So we have to thank Hashem not only that the oil lasts another 7 days, but that God created the phenomenon that oil burns, period. What we take for granted, what we're used to, all the miraculous phenomenon that we're not moved by because we're used to it, we have to stop, pause, and think, you know, I'm thirsty now, so I'm going to drink water. Water? How does water hydrate me? If I'm thirsty and I drink hydrogen, it's not going to do the trick. If I drink oxygen, it's not going to do the trick. If I double the hydrogen intake to the oxygen, it ain't going to do the trick. Two gases are not going to hydrate. So The Ribbono Shel Olam, somehow the master chemist is able to fuse together these two gases of hydrogen and oxygen and produce produce water. That's a miracle on par with oil lasting an additional 7 days. So the additional 7 days cause us to appreciate the etzem phenomenon that oil burns, period. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, if the Alanisim would say that they lit candles for an additional 7 days, you would think the miracle was only 7 days. But therefore, the Rav Yochanan Kohen Gadol wrote, V'hidliku Neirois. The miracle is that Neirois burn period. The miracle is that oil burns. The phenomenon of fuel burning is an equal miracle, and therefore, it was formulated, V'hidliku Neirois b'chasos kodshecha. Says Rav David Kohen, Rashiv of Chevron, now we understand the phrase in the Pizmain, Yevanim nikbitzu alai. We say, Yevanim nikbitzu alai, Zabim echashanim, Uminoisar kan kanim, Nasa nesla shoshanim. B'nei vina, people of understanding, Yemei shmoina, 8 days, kavu shirunanim. What exactly do you need bina for? Why are we invoking Bina? Bina means Lahavin Davar Mitoch Davar, to understand one thing from something else. It's not Chachma. Chachma is the piece of information. Bina is extrapolating based on what we know to figure out something else. Why was Bina needed to establish 8 days? Why is Bina even being invoked over here? Says Rav David Kohen, Shlita, based on the altar of Kelm, that the reason why Hanukkah is 8 days is through the miraculous burning of the final 7 days, we figured out that not only are the final 7 days miraculous, but the actual phenomenon that oil burns, that's equally miraculous. So they were mizboinein davar mitoich davar, that from the last 7 days, they were mevin, that the first day was also a miracle. And therefore, b'nei vina, children of Bina, masters of Bina, Yemei Shmoina, 8 days, Kavushir Urenanim, says Rav David Kohen in his incredible Sefer, Yemei Chanukah. Marv Raboisai, here's the $1 million question. Do you like this answer to the Beis Yosef's question? Do you think this is a valid answer to the Beis Yosef's question? At first glance, this answer does not seem to be reasonable, plausible, or really be possible or logical in any sense. How could you give such an answer? Oh, you know what? There's an 8th day of Hanukkah. 7 for the miracle and 1 for the fact that oil burns. Guess what? I've just found out a way to add a day to every single Yom Tov. You know, Sukkos, God miraculously put us in a cloud of glory. But we should have another day of Sukkos because clouds are a miracle. You think clouds are, you just take them for granted? Nah. Do you understand how miraculous clouds are? You see, you have all this water in the ocean and you can't drink any of it because there's salt in it. When Christopher Columbus set sail to America, their slogan was, water, water everywhere, not an ounce to drink. So how you have to desalinate the water. Ah, so God, you know what he does? He takes this big fire, it's 93 million miles away from the planet, and he shoots the fire down at a speed of 186,000 miles per second, and it heats up the water and it turns into water vapor. And water vapor is lighter than the air. And the water vapor rises up, and then in the cool temperature it condenses and it turns into a cloud. So I just figured out a way how to make Sukkos 9 days in Chutz Aretz, 10 days in Chutz Aretz, 8 days for the miracle of Anani, and an extra day for the miracle of clouds. Do we do that? No, we don't do that. I just figured out a way to make the Yom Tov of Pesach an extra day. 7 days for the splitting of the sea, and the 8th day for the fact that there's a sea altogether. I mean, what kind of answer is this? We're adding on a day for nature, so what does it got to do with Hanukkah? Why do we tack it on to Hanukkah? We could do this to every single miracle that we celebrate. Celebrate the miracle, and the miracle should be revealed to us that nature itself is miraculous. I mean, it's a very interesting chap. It's a good chap. It's a true principle. But what in the world does it got to do with Hanukkah? All of a sudden, Hanukkah time, we're celebrating nature. It's nature celebration day. We could do that any day. I mean, why do we wake up one time a year, Hanukkah, and celebrate 7 days for the miraculous burning of the oil, and one day that oil burns, shkoyach. So now let's do that to every single Yom Tov. But what does it have to do with the Yom Tov of Hanukkah? I think that's a very basic question, a question any intelligent person should ask. This is a very nice answer, the Altar of Kelm, but it does not seem to have anything to do with Hanukkah per se. B'nei Vina Yemei Shmoina, why didn't the B'nei Vina come along and tack on a day to every single Yom Tov? So let's begin with the comments of Tikkunei Zohar. Just an executive summary, we know there's a concept in Jewish thought, in Machsheves Yisrael, that there are 10 spheros, 10 mystical emanations, if you were. Now this is a very difficult subject to explain. Many Achroinim were against speaking about it because in a way, it's giving a certain entity to God, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Guf Lo Yasigeo Masigei HaGuf. But nevertheless, this is a concept alluded to in Shas. For example, the Gemara in Chagiga that says, "Be'asar Mamoris Nivra HaOlam." The Gemara in Chagiga quotes the Mishnah Navos, and the Marsha says that the Asar Mamoris Nivra HaOlam is a reference to the 10 Sphirois, which are Chachma, Bina, and Das. Or Chachma, Bina, and Das, and followed by Chesed, Gavura, Teferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, Malchus. These are the 10 spheres. The 8th sphera, says Tikkunei Zohar, Temina Behoida. The 8th one is Hoida, gratitude. Ube Hava Meshabeach David. With that, David praised Hashem. Hoidu Hashem. Vida hoid vaday. This is certainly hoid. Lam natseach hoidu behoin remizin netzach vahoid. In the words lam natseach and hoidu are merumas, the 4th sphera, netzach, the 5th sphera, or the 7th and the 8th, netzach and hoid. And these are miraculous. Ube shabeach Moshe oz. With the sphera of hoid, Moshe Rabbeinu sang the Shira, Oz Yashir, Oz. This is what it means. Oz Yashir Moshe. Oz is 8. Because of Hoid, Moshe gave Shira. And they correspond to the 8 days of Milah. And then the Tikkunei Zohar says, V'ihu Hoid, this Sphira of Hoid, Temanya Yoimei Dechanukah, are the 8 days of Chanukah. So obviously this is a very lofty concept. Let's try to assimilate it based on our capacity. There are 10 spheres. Each sphera is corresponding to one of the great Avos HaOlam, one of the 7 Ushpizin. Abraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, Yaakov is Teferes, Moshe is Netzach, Aaron is Hoid, Yosef is Yisoid, David is Machos. But there's another concept that the Yomim Tovim correspond to the Sphirois. Chanukah, the Zohar says, corresponds to Hoid. What does it mean it corresponds to Hoid? Reb Chaim Friedlander basically explains that the Hanhaga of Hoid is intertwined and comes to expression and fruition on Chanukah. So there's a specific connection between Hoid and Chanukah. Comes a Chidah. The Chidah in the Sefer Dvarim Achadim, and the Chidah says that in the name of the Beis Shmuel, the sheets are a little bit out of order here, we go to page 2, he quotes the Bircha Shmuel, that the reason why Chanukah is 8 days is because the Sphira of Hoid is the 8th Sphira, namely Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hoid. Hoid is the 8th Sphira. It corresponds to the 8 days of Chanukah. So there's a specific connection between Hoid and Chanukah. That's why Chanukah is 8 days. Another interesting thing we see is that the Gemara in Brachos darshins the pasuk L'cha Hashem Agdula v'agvura v'atveres v'anitz v'ahoid. The Gemara in Brachos darshins v'ahoid refers to the war against Nachal Arnon when we sang Shira of Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a connection between the Sphira of Hoid and the Midah and gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise, the Shla HaKadosh says that there are two good buddies. These two good buddies are Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah is Hoid, and Purim is Netzach, right? That's why Chanukah is Keneged Aron HaKohen, and Purim is Keneged Moshe Rabbeinu. Purim is the day we were Mekabel the Torah. Purim is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu had his Bris Milah. Moshe was born on Zion Adar, his Milah was on Purim. Memela. That's why in Purim we say Chuasam Hayisa La Netzach. So Purim is Netzach and Chanukah is Hoid. That is why Chanukah is 8 days. Hoid is the eighth Midah. Let's try to translate the word Hoid. And to be able to translate this properly, we have to go to the all-time greatest expert and the nuances of Lashon HaKodesh, namely the Malbim. As opposed to other Achronim, who say there's something called Shemos HaNerdafim, Shemos HaNerdafim are synonyms, the Malbim is of the opinion there are no synonyms. Every Hebrew word has a specific nuance and connotation. There are no synonyms. And therefore the Malbim throughout Tanakh explains the difference between Chazak, the Ematz. The Malbim explains the difference between many similar expressions. And in fact, he wrote a whole lexicon on this subject called Sefer HaKarmel. And the Malbim in Sefer HaKarmel, in at least 5 places in his writings, the Malbim explains the difference between 2 words that seem to have very similar meanings. Hoid and Hadar. What's the difference between Hoid and Hadar? They seem like they have the exact same meaning. Says the Malbim that the word Hadar refers to Yoifi Hachitzaini, external beauty, that is revealed and detectable by the naked eye. How is beauty determined and detected? Its shape, its appearance, its texture, by outward external features. A person, his beauty could sometimes be detected through external qualities, wealth, power, age. So, for example, when we talk about an Esrog, we call it Pre-Eitz Hadar. An Esrog has external beauty, its shape, its symmetry, its bumps. These are all features of external beauty. Zekanim could have Hadar. Hadras Zekanim, their old age, is an expression of external beauty. And therefore, we need to show honor to Zekanim. How? V'hadarta. Hadar is a display of appreciation of external beauty. Yehoshua ben Nun was given Hadar. Bechar shayrahai Hadar lai Hadar. Yehoshua was given Hadar. What was his Hadar? He was a valiant warrior. He went into the land of Canaan and he destroyed 31 kings. He had Hadar. Al tehedar pnei gadol. When you're in a court case, the judge cannot give and afford, the judge cannot accord an elder with external honor. Vidal loy sedar berivai. Hadar refers to external beauty. The way something appears, looks, its symmetry, its appearance, its muscle tone, its texture, these are all qualities that are measurable, that are finite, that are objective. Chazal tell us, Hoid was given to Moshe, Hadar was given to Yehoshua. If Yehoshua was given Hoid, then nobody would have been able to stand up to him. Yehoshua was not given Hoid. Moshe Rabbeinu gave some of his hoid to Yehoshua. And that is why the Malbim explains in Parshas Pinchas that God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, "Dinasata mehoidcha olav," give some of your hoid upon Yehoshua. What is hoid? Yehoshua had hadar, he had external beauty, he had majesty, he was a valiant warrior. The answer is, hoid is not external beauty, hoid is internal beauty. Says the Malbim, hayoifi hapanimi, internal beauty, hanafshi, something, a soul quality. The Malbim says on Parshas Kedoshim, ha-hadar hu ha-yoyfi ha-chitsoini, ha-meyuchad l'chol davar shabay nedar v'minoi, hu ha-hadar, hadar malchus, hadras chasidim, hadras koidesh, now, hoid, on the other hand, is referring to internal beauty. Take a look over here, back in the Sefer HaKarmel. V'koyach hoid. Yesh hevdel bein hoid ovein hadar. Hoid ba al ha'inyan ha'pnimi atzuri. Hoid refers to internal quality. What's intrinsic to the item. Ziv panimi, a splendor, a internal splendor, a soul quality that makes the item beautiful. Tsurasai hanafshis. This is its soul image. Ba'atzmus hadavar. Malei ruach. Let's say the item is full of spirit. Chachma, wisdom. Bina, understanding. Anava, humility. Rachamim, mercy. Chemla. Tzedek, justice. Mishpat. These are all internal qualities, koichos tzuriyim, upnimiyim, that are not revealed to the outside. So the difference between hoid and hadar is something that looks beautiful. Hoid is an internal quality. Now sometimes you can meet someone and they're not objectively good looking. Maybe if you see a picture of them, you don't see anything unusually attractive. There's nothing objectively nice about the appearance. However, upon meeting them, they have a certain quality, a certain chayin. Maybe it's their anivos. Maybe it's their chachma. Chachmas adam ta'er panav. Where these internal qualities, their justice, their kindness, they cast a certain illumination on the personality of the person where there's an inner splendor that transcends the objective, cold qualities of appearance that this person has. That's hoid. And sometimes a person could be not objectively good-looking. However, their personality, their midos, their internal qualities cause them to have a certain charm because it comes from their soul. Their soul's internal qualities transcends their outer appearance. That's the difference between hoid and hadar. And Moshe Rabbeinu was asked by the Ribbono Shel Olam, "V'nasata mehoidcha alav." I want you to give some of your hoid to Yehoshua. Don't give all of it. If you give all of it, then Yehoshua will become invincible because he would then have the external hadar combined with the internal hoid. By the way, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu never went to war. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't fight wars because he had hoid. He didn't have hadar. We don't find somewhere that Moshe was yifei toyar, so to speak. He had an internal hoid, which made him beautiful, which made him majestic, but it came from the quality of hoid. Chanukah is the midah of hoid. Chanukah is the midah of hoidah. What does hoid have to do with Chanukah? This is very important. The sphera associated with Chanukah is hoid. God operates the world on two planes. The world has two dimensions to it. The world has hoid and the world has hadar. You know what the hadar of the world is? Nature. There are certain phenomena with which the world operates. there is an ecosystem, there is condensation, there is precipitation, there is rain, there is respiration, there is digestion, there are all kinds of phenomenon, and these phenomenon can be measured, these phenomenon can be detected. Somebody could go to the doctor. The doctor could say, okay, this is your blood pressure. Someone could go to a medical physician and they could say, okay, you know, you have X amount of time to live. We've determined that your life capacity is this number of years. Your body is holding on at this state, in this stage. And there's certain phenomena in life that are measurable. And we think that's how the world actually runs. We think the doctor will say, well, your heart is in this condition, so therefore you have X number of years left. Your body is in this state, so therefore your life expectancy is 10 years, 20 years, a day, a month, 50 more years. That is the hadar of the world. Hadar means the external methodologies and processes which are measurable, calculative, they can be added up, scientific, they're finite. But that is not really how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Because behind what we call Teva, well, behind the Hadar of the world is the height of the world. And the height of the world is Hashem secretly operates the world, that when a person does mitzvahs, then the world is in a state of well-being, success, that when a person does mitzvahs, the body is healthy. You could go to the doctor and the doctor won't measure it, and the doctor won't see it, and the doctor won't find it. But the way the internal mechanism and operation of the world is through the process of hoyd. And as we're going to see, the Ramban says there is no such thing as teva. Teva is just a mask that doesn't really intrinsically exist. The way the world really exists is that when a Jew puts on tefillin, there's no famine in the world. There's more rain. One second. How does me putting a box on my arm affect the rain cycle? Moreover, when a Jew davens properly, the stock market goes up. When a Jew brings his phone into the Beis HaKnesses, the stocks go down. That's the reality. When a person talks by davening, it will affect his money. When a person davens properly, he will live a more successful life. When a person speaks kindly to his wife, to his family, he will lead a better life. When a person speaks harshly and critical, his life won't be as good. Say, what does one thing have to do with the other? Why does my tefillah affect the stock market? Why does the way, whether I talk or not in the shul, why does it affect whether COVID spreads or not? When Jews act properly, COVID comes to an end. When Jews don't act properly, there are new variants. So what? I don't know how. Why is one thing connected with the other? This is the fundamental tenet of Emunah that the Ramban says. We don't see it. We can't see it. We can't measure it. We can't calculate it. We can't add it up. But this is what we believe. That the whole world is nisim nistarim, affected by the masim of Bnei Adam. That is what is called hoid. The external facade of the world that everybody else thinks the way the world operates is called hadar. You know who didn't believe in hadar? In hoid? You know who didn't accept hoid? The Yavanim. The Yavanim said, you know how we're going to determine a person's value? We're going to look at their physical qualities. If they have good muscle tone and good muscle sculpture, and they look beautiful and they look handsome, then they must be a good person. The way things look is how they are. Furthermore, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says that, again, the world operates on two planes. There are two procedures with which the world operates. And Aristo, who is the smartest man who ever lived, the Gra writes, where the wisdom of Aristotle ended, the Chachma of Kabbalah of the Ramak began. Where the Chachma of Kabbalah the Ramak ended, the Chachma of the Arizal began. Aristotle was the greatest Chacham of the disciplines of this world. His Hashkafas HaChaim is, if you could add it, and you could measure it, and you could weigh it, and you could calculate it, then it exists. There are ecosystems. There is respiration because we could measure your heart rate and your breathing capacity. And there is blood type and there is DNA. And there are all kinds of phenomena taking place in the human body because whatever we could measure with a thermometer and under the microscope and anything that's calculable exists. But the supernatural does not exist. If I do an act of chesed to somebody, it will not make the world a healthier place to live. It will not increase my lifespan. If I give charity, it will not save someone from illness. I don't believe in that, Aristotle said. I can't measure it, I can't see it. If I learn Torah, my life won't be better. If I pray, the stocks won't go up. That's not measurable, and therefore it does not exist. Basically, Yavon accepted one hashkafa sachayim. The world has hadar, the world does not have hoid. The world has certain things that you could see. Basically, what you see is what you get. The way a person looks, the way they appear, their body, their shape, their sculptive qualities, that exists, that's significant, that's important. Midos, that's not measurable. Character is not measurable. Divine service is not measurable, and therefore it doesn't exist. But the Jewish people, from time immemorial, we say the externalities have value if they bring out the internal qualities. We say, listen to this, Dar ledar yishabach ma'asecha gvorsech yagidu hadar kevoid hoidecha. Interesting. Hadar and hoid. Hadar kevoid hoidecha. We bring external honor to the internal qualities of character that we recognize in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hadar has value if it's associated with hoid. The old age of a chacham is valuable if that chacham has chachma. A person's physical beauty is significant if they have nice character. A chacham who is tall and of appearance, that has value if it brings out their wisdom and character. Hadar only has value not because we could see it and measure it and detect it, only if it lends honor and nobility to the hoid. The main point of dispute between Yavon and Yisrael is that Yavon did not accept anything that's not measurable. Look in the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos. He says, "V'loy ucha lefaresh." I can't explain. "Ki yinu tzrichim lachsoim pi hamischakmim b'teva." We need to muzzle those who become wise in nature, hanim shachrin achri hayavani, who are drawn after Greek philosophy, asher hikrish kol davar zulasi hamorgashlai. The Greeks denied anything except for something that they're able to detect. The higiz daitoi lachshoiv. They were arrogant to suspect, him and his wicked students, that anything you can't see, anything you can't measure, does not exist. Says the Ramban in the Sefer Torah Hashem Tamima, when the Yavanim arose, they are a nation, they have no tradition of Chachma. They're not like the Jewish people that we have a tradition going back to Sinai. Therefore, they say, look, if we could add up 50 plus 14, 64, that they believe. We could see the 50 entities, we could see the 14 entities, and we could add it up to 64 entities. Science, we believe. We could take a test tube, we could put it under the microscope, and we could see it, study it, analyze it, appreciate it. But don't tell me that the world operates in the hidden way that people's actions and people's character affect the trajectory or downward trajectory of the world. Don't tell me that COVID spreads or exists in the world because some kind of averois that people may have been doing? No! There was an accident in a laboratory, and that's why it spread. But nothing more than that. It's not like people's actions or beliefs or behavior or character had anything to do with it. It's not like if we say Tehillim, anything will change. But the Jewish people don't believe that. We believe that our prayers, that our tefillos, change the stock market and the life cycle and the lifespan and people's health. And the global well-being is dependent on our Bein Adam L'Chaveroi and our Bein Adam L'Makai. How? I understand. I'm sitting in my room. I'm learning an ancient Babylonian text. Why would that affect world finances? Why would that affect COVID-19? I am not speaking to a single scientist. I'm not speaking to any immunologist. Why would my Limud HaTorah put the world in better shape? You're right, that's what the Greeks believe. If you can't see it, if you can't measure it, it's not true. Because they only believe in Hadar, they believe in what you could see. But we believe that Hadar is just a disguise, it's just a mask. Behind the Hadar is the internal operating force of the world, which is the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't believe the world operates on Hadar. And therefore, if there was ever a Yom Tov that we should celebrate, not only the miracle that's obvious, that's overt, that we could see with our eye, if there was ever a Yom Tov to say, well, if the additional 7 days of burning is miraculous, then you know what? The phenomenon that oil burns is equally miraculous. Of course, the only appropriate time, the most appropriate time to do that would be Chanukah. Chanukah corresponds to the Midah of Hoyd. Hoyd is celebrating, acknowledging the inner mechanism of the universe. Not only the Hadar, the last 7 days are the Hadar. The first day is the Hoyd. If Chanukah is the sphere of Hoyd, there's no more appropriate time to celebrate Misha Amar, L'shem and Sheyadloik, Yoymar L'choym et Sheyadloik. Chanukah is the time that we extrapolate the B'nai Vina, or Maven, that if there are open miracles, it's to come to recognize the hidden miracles. By the way, the Oyev Yisrael writes that we know that the Sphira of Hoyd corresponds to Aaron HaKohen, and again, that's why Chanukah was associated with the Kohanim and Aaron, because Chanukah is specifically the Midah of Hoyd. Now, for you Mekubalim out there, there is a stira that Reb Tzedek HaKohen asks, namely that Moshe Rabbeinu is also sometimes associated with Hoyd. We just saw in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Tikkuni Zohar, that Moshe sang Oz Yashir with the Midah of Hoyd, which means that Moshe is Hoyd. And Aaron maybe is Netzach. The truth is, like we saw before, the two Midas, Hoyd and Netzach, are the two thighs, which refer to Chanukah and Purim. So there's a certain degree of flexibility and interchangeability between the spheres of Hoyd and Netzach, because they correspond to Aaron and Moshe, Chanukah and Purim. In fact, let's think about it. If the spheres, if Chachma, Bina, and Das is in the mind, and Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes is the body, Hoyd and Netzach are sort of outside of the body. They're outside, and the Oyev Yisrael says that's why Chanukah does not have a Masechta, because since it corresponds to Hoyd, and of this divine entity, again, we have to be very careful, Chas V'Shom, we're not saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu has any entity or any corporeality or physical component, but this is just the way that we can sort of relate to how Hashem relates to the world. The Hoyd and Netzach are like the two thighs, they're outside of the body, therefore Chanukah, the Oyev Yisrael, has no Masechta. If there was ever a Yom Tov that could be captured with probably the most famous words Ramban ever wrote, it would have to be the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The Ramban, at the end of Parshas Boy, writes his immortal words. The Ramban says, "Min hanisim hagdoilim hamefursamim," from the great and obvious and public miracles, "Adam moide benisim hanestarim," a person will acknowledge the hidden miracles. When you see the splitting of the sea, when you see clouds of glory, when you see plagues in Egypt, we come to recognize, oh, if that's a miracle, then who's pumping my heart? I don't have anyone here performing CPA. I don't have anybody here pumping the heart. Who's pumping the heart? Who's causing the lungs to inhale and exhale? Why is that any less miraculous? But we're used to it. So the open miracle jogs our mind and says, you know what? The hidden miracles are equally miraculous. Shehem Yesoid HaTorah Kula. The foundation of the Torah is not the open miracle, it's the hidden miracle. She'ein lo adam chilek b'toiras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person has no share in the Torah. Ad shenamin, unless the person believes, b'chol devareinu, that all matters, u'mikreinu, everything that happens to us, kulam nisim, they're all miraculous. Ein bohem teva, there's no nature. I just happened to meet somebody. I just happened to see something. I just happened to come across the following. There's no nature. Everything is a miracle. Umin hagoy shaloylam. When the stock market goes up, it's a miracle. Now it's your fault. You've made it go up. If the stock market goes down, it's also your fault. There's no happens to be. Bein barabim, both on a natural level, on a communal level, bein biyachid, or on an individual level. Im yase mitzvos yatzichenu scharo. If you do mitzvos, things are good in the world. Vim yavrel, if you violate them, yachrisenu anshay. There's punishment in the world. But how? Why do tefillin affect the rain? Why does Torah affect the stock market? Why does tefillah affect COVID-19? The answer is, hello, that's what Yavan thought. But we don't believe that. We believe that's what affects it. We pull away the veil. The veil is called Teva. The veil is called Hadar. And on the inside, there's a certain inner mechanic of the world. That's called Hoid. Hakol b'gzeres elyon. What's the connection between Hoid and Hoida? What's this got to do with gratitude? What's this got to do with gratitude? Very simple. You know why we don't have gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why should we have gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I took a job that makes $100,000 a year. That's what the boss told me. And I did the job for a year, and I made $100,000. So who do I have to be grateful for? Why should I be grateful? Because my corn grew? I planted corn, so of course the corn grew. Why should I be grateful? Because I have children? I got married, and that's what happens when you get married, you have children. What do I need to be grateful for? There's certain processes that the world works with, and I tapped into those processes. So therefore, I deserve the outcome. I should be grateful that I'm alive. Why should I be grateful? My parents had me. And when you bring someone to the world, they live. Because we have been affected by Hadar. We see the way things look on the outside. On the outside, it looks like when you get married, you automatically have children. The phone line went down. But when you get married, it looks like you automatically have children. But that's not the case. Doesn't have to be. Having children is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. You think because you go to work, you make money? When you go to work, you're just like going through motions. But the money comes down, and Hashamayim, like the man. You think that because you planted, automatically things will grow? Planting is just going through the motions. The growth is an absolute miracle. Oh, it's a miracle. And I might not get it. And I'm only getting it from the good graces of the Almighty. Of course, I have to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a world of Hadar, ingratitude abounds. Because we take everything for granted. Our whole life we take for granted. Of course, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to breathe and my heart is going to beat and I'll be able to walk and I'll remember what I need to do. In a word of Hadar, what do I have to be grateful for? But if we pull away the mask and we pull away the veil and we recognize that every single thing that transpires in this world is an outright miracle, that the 7 days that the menorah burnt is not any more miraculous than the first day? That's when gratitude happens. Hoidah is utterly dependent on the sphere of hoid. When you accept, when you rely on the external phenomenon that we take for granted, then we're ungrateful. But when we recognize everything in this world is an absolute miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no phenomena, there are no rules of the universe. That's just the way Hashem would like us to see it. That's when we're able to have hoidah to Hashem. We can't take for granted that when we come home at night, we have a bed to sleep on. That's a miracle that we have a bed to sleep on. It's a miracle that we have a pillow. It's a miracle that you have a toothbrush. It's a miracle that you could walk to shul in the morning. It's a miracle that you remember where you're supposed to sit in the shul. It's a miracle that God gave you the ability to remember not to bring your cell phone into the Beis HaKnesses. That's also a miracle. That Hashem gave you the zchus to actually not bring it in. All of these things are miraculous. And that's why Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Lahoidais, because it's dependent on the Midah of Hoid. Hoid is the eighth Sfira, there are 8 days of Chanukah. And therefore, when the Altar of Kelman, Rav Moshe Feinstein, says, 7 days for the miracle, 1 day for nature, it's not some random thing, let's tack on another day to Chanukah. Well, so why don't we tack on another day to any Yom Tov? The answer is that's the essence of the essential character of Chanukah. Chanukah is the Midah of Hoid, recognizing that there's no teva, everything is nisim, ve'ein lanu chelek ve'leke Yisrael uv'taras Moshe ad shenamin shekol dvarenu u'makrenu kulam nisim ein bohem teva u'menhaga shalom. Thank you everyone for listening. Wish everybody a freilich in Chanukah. If anybody wants to get a hold of the Sefer Elakad de'meir aneni in honor of the upcoming yardside of Rameir Balanes, which is Shabbos Chanukah, you could go to our site, rabbidg.com. They're now on sale with free shipping. Bez Hashem, the next Sefer is being prepared for publication on Purim in English for art school. If anybody wants to be Mishtatef in that publication, please let us know. Wishing everyone a Freilich and Chanukah. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Kol Tov. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.